Letters from Home, a podcast from the St. Paul Center.
Where can we turn for guidance amid the confusion facing our church today? In Calming the Storm, Navigating the Crises Facing the Catholic Church and Society, Father Gerald Murray provides straight answers on what the church really teaches. Learn more at stpaulcenter.com.
Hi there, this is Dr. John Bergsma from the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology and the Franciscan University of Steubenville, coming to you on this Friday of the first week in Ordinary Time. And in this first week of Ordinary Time, as you may have figured out already, we start over with the shortest and simplest of the Gospels, Mark. So we're reading through Mark in our Gospel reading, and we are into the book of Hebrews for our first reading here in year one. And Hebrews is a difficult book to understand, and yet very valuable, very profound. As I've mentioned before, I'll reiterate, there's a certain pattern to the book of Hebrews. It's trying to demonstrate that Jesus is the mediator of a better covenant than any of the covenant mediators of the Old Testament. And in Jewish thought, God's covenant with the people of Israel was given through a series of mediators. God first entrusted it to the angels, and the angels gave it to Moses, and Moses gave it to Joshua. And after the death of Joshua, it was administered by the Levitical high priest. And that is the order of the structure of the book of Hebrews. Chapters 1 and 2 show that Jesus is superior to the angels. Chapters 3 and 4 show he's superior to Moses and Joshua. And then chapters 5 through 10 are all about Jesus' superiority to the high priest. Why so much attention to the high priest? Because the book of Hebrews was written when the high priest was still functioning in the city of Jerusalem, and he was the clearest and most present danger religiously for the religious affections of Jews at the time that the book of Hebrews was written. And so the author, traditionally St. Paul, is writing to encourage Jewish Christians not to go back to the old covenant, even though at that time it was very attractive because the temple was glorious and the sacrifices were magnificent, and if you're living in Jerusalem, it was very easy to go back to that worship because it looked externally so good. But Paul says, no, in Jesus we have this better covenant. Now let's turn to the reading that we have for today, which is from Hebrews 4, and it focuses on the ideas of the Sabbath and of the rest in the promised land. I'll read a few snippets here. Let us be on our guard while the promise of entering into his rest remains, that none of you seem to have failed. For in fact, we have received the good news just as our ancestors did, but the word that they heard did not profit them, for they were not united in faith with those who listened. Skipping down, he says, for he has spoken somewhere about the seventh day in this manner, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in the previously mentioned place, they shall not enter into my rest. Therefore, let us strive to enter into that rest so that no one may fall after the same example of disobedience. And this is a little bit mystical, but the author of Hebrews here is talking about two forms of spiritual rest that were available in the Old Covenant. There was the Sabbath that was given at creation, where God rested and he invited humanity to join him in that rest. And then there was the rest of the promised land, where the people could enter and have peace in a land of their own in safety. But the people of Israel sinned dramatically against God during the wilderness wanderings, and God swore about the first generation that came out of Egypt that they would never enter into his rest. And that was specifically for the first generation. But unfortunately, the subsequent generations repeated the sins of the first. And so under the old covenant, the people of Israel never fully embraced, never fully possessed that rest, that divine rest that was promised to them through the gift of the promised land and also through the gift of the Sabbath. But in Christ, we have that rest. If we've been baptized into Christ, we enter into that relationship with Him, and He gives us the Holy Spirit, and we don't need to strive in our human efforts to be pleasing to God anymore. All we have to do is follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. We have to kind of rest in the Holy Spirit, allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, quiet ourselves, in a certain sense, spiritually relax, and stop resisting the working of the Spirit in our lives in order to make progress in the spiritual life and to have that peaceful relationship with God, a peace that is reminiscent of the peace that was enjoyed in the Garden of Eden by our first parents, where they had peace with God and peace with nature. We're not going to have peace with nature in this temporal life, but we can regain that peace with God through Christ. And now we move to our gospel reading, and it's the account of the healing of the paralytic at Capernaum, where the paralytic is let down by his friends on a mat, and Jesus says, "Child, your sins are forgiven." And the scribes are offended, and they say, "Who but God alone can forgive sins?" And Jesus says, "So that you may know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins on earth," He said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your mat, and go home." And of course, he does, and everyone says, "We have never seen anything like this." So here, we're reading through Mark, and Mark records our Lord referring to himself as the Son of Man. Well, what is that all about? Well, some people think Son of Man just refers to Jesus' human nature or his mortality, or it's some phrase equivalent to our term like John Q. Doe, which means some, you know, generic human being. But none of those things are the case. The Son of Man draws on a couple of different texts from the Old Testament, but primarily that title goes back to Daniel 7, where we see a person described as the Ancient of Days who sits on a throne governing the cosmos, and then before him is brought one like a Son of Man, Daniel 7 says, who comes riding on the clouds, which is something that the gods did. Really, the chief god of every different religion, the chief god always rode on the clouds and controlled the weather. So the Son of Man coming on the clouds is a sign that he looks human, but he is actually divine, and he's presented before the Ancient of Days, and he's given all authority in heaven and on earth. And so even Jewish scholars recognize that there's two divine persons there in Daniel 7. There's the Ancient of Days and the Son of Man, and so we're moving toward the fullness of the revelation of the Trinity already in that Old Testament book. Now here, Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man. He's saying, "I am that divine and human figure who exercises divine power and is given all authority in the cosmos," according to Daniel 7. And as a demonstration of that, he shows his authority not only over the spiritual realm by forgiving sins, but also over the material realm by healing the man's body. And so the message of this passage is Jesus is God, not just a good teacher, not just a kindly prophet, not just a nice guru who can teach us meditation practices, but he is God, and he has authority over the spiritual and the material realm. And so how does that apply to us? Well, we need to constantly remind ourselves that in Jesus we are dealing with God. When we go forward to receive the Eucharist today, we are receiving God into our bodies. And he has all authority in heaven and earth in both the spiritual and material realm. And so we need to make an examination of conscience and say, am I living in obedience to him in all things spiritual and in all things material? And maybe a good way to particularize that would be maybe today asking ourselves, you know, in the spiritual realm, you know, how is my prayer life? Am I setting aside enough prayer to spend time with Jesus? And in the material realm, maybe we could look at something like our money. You know, does my use of my money really give testimony to the fact that I am living under the authority of Jesus Christ, King of the universe? So this has been Dr. John Bergsma from the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology and the Franciscan University of Steubenville, coming to you on this Friday of the first week in Ordinary Time.
Thank you for listening to Letters from Home, the Scripture Reflections podcast from the St. Paul Center. Listen daily with reflections from Dr. Scott Hahn, Dr. John Bergsma, Dr. Shane Owens, Ms. Joan Watson, and Mr. Clement Harold. Our production team includes Technical Director Rory Mitrick and producers Olivia Mosier and Joseph Palmer. Our mission at the St. Paul Center is to help you read Scripture from the heart of the Church. Subscribe and share Letters from Home, as well as Dr. Scott Hahn's podcast, The Road to Emmaus, and Mrs. Kimberly Hahn's podcast, Beloved and Blessed. For more faith-based resources, books, and Bible studies, visit stpaulcenter.com.